Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. It is dangerous to try to define yourself as someone who has no self-control.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, the what the hell effect, identity, social groups, and behavior change.
How you conceive of yourself has a lot to do with what kinds of things you notice about your environment, right? I mean, if you see yourself as susceptible to whatever kind of temptations there are in the world, then you're going to tend to notice some of those things more so than somebody who doesn't even think of themselves that way, right? So deciding that you're, you know, whatever words you use to describe somebody who overeats or somebody who is obsessed with sex or somebody who drinks too much or uses drugs or whatever that is, I mean, that's going to affect what you notice about your environment. But that can also serve a positive purpose, because once you understand what those proclivities are, you can think about how can I create an environment that makes it more likely that I'm going to do the things that I want to do and not do the things that I don't want to do. So that identity thing cuts both ways.
Yeah, and I think that the people around us are an enormous influence on our behavior. And so...
And I have to just interject, whether they intend to be or not.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So it's not just that people are trying to influence our behavior, but the very fact that you're hanging out with a particular group of people who do particular things influences what it is you're going to want to do and not want to do.
Yeah.
And so if you find yourself hanging out with a bunch of people who are doing things you don't want to do, now it's going to be very hard for you to be the only one in the room who's not doing the thing that everybody else is doing. And so significant behavior changes often are accompanied by significant changes in your social structure. That also means that when you are trying to make a significant change in your behavior, it's useful to give permission to the people around you to serve as part of your stop system, to give people permission to say, are you sure that's what you want to do right now? Or even more to say, why don't we go somewhere else right now?
Yeah.
And allow them to change the environment. Because one of the things about the what the hell effect is that it's a hot state, meaning that it's a motivationally engaged state. And the more deeply motivationally engaged you are with something, the harder it is for that inhibitory stop system to overcome the inertia of your motivational system, of that go system. And so you may be in a situation in which it's very hard for you to stop yourself. Having somebody else who is empowered to help stop you from doing things is useful, because those people are not motivationally engaged to do the thing that you're motivationally engaged with, which makes it easier for them to say, I'm pulling you out of this situation.
Yeah.
This works not just for behaviors like this. It's also really useful if you're negotiating for a car.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the car dealer, bring a friend who couldn't care less if you buy that car, so that if you're about to spend way too much money, your disinterested friend can say, it's time to go.
This idea about creating social environments that help you be the person you aspire to be involves all kinds of behavior. You know, I teach in a music school, and often students will say, you know, I think I should be practicing more. And I say, well, do you hang out with people who practice? Because if you don't, you're probably not going to practice. And if you do, you know, you'll be sitting around and all your friends will get up and go up to the sixth floor and go into practice rooms. You think, well, maybe I should practice too, right? And I think this is such a common feature of human beings, is that when we're in the presence of other people who are behaving in certain ways, productive or unproductive or destructive even, it's hard not to go along with that. You know, I mean, personal fortitude, you know, is a good thing and all that. But some situations are very difficult to resist. I think no matter how strong-willed we may think we are or how much of a commitment we've made in the past, and recognizing I've got a plan for what happens when things don't go as I planned. Because to not have that is not to blow your plan. Although I've heard some people say, you know, the best way, you know, to not fall back on something is don't have a fallback plan. You just have this and it's that or nothing. Except for all the times that it's doesn't work out, then it's nothing. And you're toast, you know, and it just doesn't seem like an effective strategy.
Now, again, this is nothing we're saying here is meant to say that those people who are struggling with addictions should just do whatever they want to do.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Give into that. I mean, addiction is a debilitating illness. But this is really focused on behavior changes and how we deal with failures. And even for addicts dealing with relapses, to be forgiving of those once they've happened, rather than allowing those to become long-term setbacks. One of the things, though, that's important to do is for people to recognize that when they are struggling with a behavior that they're trying to change, particularly one that involves no longer doing something that they used to do, that it is dangerous to try to define yourself as someone who has no self-control. And the reason that that's dangerous is that if you come to believe I've got no self-control, then you won't put in the effort that is required to try to control your behavior. And the thing about the stop system, that inhibitory system that stops you from doing the thing you're not supposed to do, is that it is an effortful system to engage. It requires some work. Your go system, that underlying motivational system, that thing just trucks along on its own accord. That's the way go systems work, is we are designed to act. That's the way the human brain is set up. To stop ourselves is generally an effortful thing to do. And if you tell yourself a story that says, I am not the kind of person who can stop myself once I've gotten down the track, then you don't even try to put in that level of effort.
Yes.
And to build up the strategies that will make you better at resisting those kinds of temptations.
Yeah, it's what the hell time before you even start.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll talk about the hashtag OKBoomer with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.